time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome to Suffolk Matters, where all of Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News, opinions, and insights you won't hear anywhere else. Here's your host, the president of New York's largest independent union, Suffolk AME's Dan Leveler.
Welcome to another edition of Suffolk Matters on Walk 97.5 and 94.3 The Shark, where Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News and views you can't hear anywhere else.
So my guest this morning, Kevin McDonald, policy advisor for the Nature Conservancy of Long Island. Thank you for joining.
My pleasure.
And additionally, Dr. Chris Gobler, PhD, SUNY Distinguished Professor, Endowed Chair of the Coastal Ecology and Conservation School of Marine and Atmospheric Sciences. It's a mouthful. And Stony Brook University Director, New York State Center for Clean Water Technology. I mean, that's a lot of stuff, and we're going to have to unpack what that all means. But again, I want to welcome you to the show this morning. I think we have pretty interesting thing to talk about, something that's going to be coming up. It's a ballot initiative in Suffolk County to deal with our surface waters and nitrate levels and whatever, and we'll get into what all of that means. You know, in my introduction, I said a lot of fancy and important things that probably don't make sense to anybody that's listening right now. So I guess, Kevin, if you wouldn't mind, let's just talk a little bit about your role.
Sure. So the Nature Conservancy is an international conservation organization. We're all over the country and in 80 countries across the globe with an emphasis on protecting the land and waters on which all life depends. And we have a very strong presence on Long Island, because Long Island and Suffolk County in particular has a lot of people in the nation's first suburb right after World War II. A whole new different pattern of development emerged. And we're clearly seeing the consequences of what some of that looks like, and we can get into that going forward. Sure. But, you know, so what we're involved in is how do you protect land and water that matters to the public, to nature, to our experience in our lives, so that we're all enriched, nature included, is enriched by that preservation strategy. And that's, you know, we'll get into what the ballot is, sure. but that's, you know, why we invested so heavily in this whole issue.
Sure. I appreciate that. And Dr., if you wouldn't mind, like I said, lots of important things in there, and maybe you could help us unpack that a little.
Sure. Well, I'm a lifelong Long Islander. I was born in Port Jefferson. Yeah, I went to graduate school actually at Stony Brook because I learned about the collapse of the hard clam fishery on Long Island and was told it has something to do with a brown tide. And I was curious as to what that was, and that inspired me to go to grad school at Stony Brook and understand, why did we lose the hard clam fishery on Long Island? It used to be the biggest fishery in the country. The biggest hard clam fishery in the country. So that goes back more than 30 years. So I've been studying Long Island's coastal waters for 30 years, and I've spent the majority of that time trying to understand what's led to the collapse of important fisheries and habitats in our coastal waters. And then more recently, in the last decade, I've been focused on what are the solutions. Now that we know why this is all happening, what can we do as Long Islanders to reverse these trends and bring back the habitats and fisheries that we really value?
Sure, yeah. And listen, a little about my history also, so that it'll make sense why we're talking this way, and maybe some of our comments back and forth for our listeners to understand. Mm-hmm. Prior to me getting involved in the union work, I worked for Public Works. I had a long-sounding title also, which is Assistant Director of Sewer District Activation, which meant that I had to go around and help construct new sewer facilities, collection systems, force mains, all this other stuff. And things like oxygen demand on bacteria and sewage treatment mattered to me, and that probably won't make a lot of sense to people, but may come up this morning. So they'll, you know, just for context, if you're listening out there, you know, if it sounds like we know what the other person is talking about, we do, and we're going to do the best we can to steer the conversation so it makes sense to everybody. Because I think this really does matter to everybody. So moving on from there, I mean, there's a ton of factors that impact water quality in Suffolk County. This ballot initiative represents, from my perspective, it represents addressing a bunch of those different issues. But why don't we talk a little bit about, first and foremost, the environmental challenges we face with Suffolk County's water quality.
How did we end up in the mess we're in?
I mean, in Suffolk County in particular, as Suffolk County was developed, you know, the very first developments, neighborhoods were connected to sewage treatment plants. But as that development continued through the 20th century, we ended up with a county where 70% of the homes are not connected to sewage treatment plants. And instead, every single one of those homes, when the toilet flushes, it's going directly into the ground. And on the one hand, that was a great short-term solution. Let's get those pathogens away from humans. But in the longer term, that was a terrible solution because, you know, one, that means that water is being flushed into our drinking water source. We have no other source of drinking water in Suffolk County but that groundwater. That's where everybody's getting their drinking water from. And so what we've seen through the decades is all sorts of contaminants in groundwater increasing in concentrations. And of greatest concern has been the levels of nitrogen. And it's been, you know, increasing steadily with time. You can see it, you can track it. You know, it's up over 100% in the upper layer of groundwater.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is of serious consequence. You know, I know some of the people at the university who I affiliate with in the medical school actually worry about the nitrate in our drinking water alone. Right? High nitrate has been linked to all sorts of negative health outcomes, including cancer and what we'd call adverse birth outcomes as well. And that's kind of emerging epidemiological research. But, mm-hmm. you know, secondary to that, whatever we're not extracting to drink, that groundwater ultimately finds its way to our surface waters. And when high nitrogen groundwater hits surface waters, it has an immediate effect and in most cases a negative effect because it leads to the overgrowth of algae in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And things that people probably heard of before, brown tides, red tides, these mm-hmm. things we called harmful algal blooms. Those harmful algal blooms can be harmful to marine life in some cases, for example, ultimately leading to fish kills. They can also be a human health consequence. We have some harmful algal blooms that make toxins that are biotoxins that can get into our shellfish, like clams, mussels, and oysters, or it can just be a threat to, you know, the health of our pets, and say, for example, mm-hmm. in some lakes and ponds. And again, this all kicks off from having high levels of nitrogen. And there's secondary effects also. These harmful algal blooms led to the collapse or contributed to the collapse of some of our most iconic fisheries. For example, right. the bay scallop fishery on the East End collapsed because of brown tides. The hard clam fisheries I mentioned before, half of the hard clams eaten in the U.S. came from Great South Bay in the 1970s and 80s. Now the landings of those clams are down more than 99% from the peak. And we know that repeated brown tides prevented those that clam fishery from coming back. And then there's other secondary effects that are important just to mention. For example, the high nitrogen leads to the loss of salt marshes. Right? Salt marshes line all of our, not all, but important coastal zones.
Sure.
And they serve as a barrier to flooding. You know, when Hurricane Sandy hit, what we saw is that the communities that had a salt marsh in front of them actually did not flood or did not flood nearly as bad as those built right up to the water. Where you had catastrophic flooding. And at the same time, about 10 years ago, we learned that, oh, that high level of nitrogen coming ultimately from septic systems is degrading away those salt marshes and therefore leading to more flooding. And then, you know, I'll also just mention in the water, there's an important type of habitat called seagrass. Seagrasses are very important for fisheries, like they essentially little fish and little shellfish go in there to hide, to grow up. So we have lots of fisheries, and, you know, those, we've lost 90% of our seagrass meadows on Long Island, and it's very clear the higher the nitrogen levels are, the greater the likelihood is that you'll lose your seagrass.
So let me hop in on this if I
yeah.
can. So each of these stories, they're all connected to a common malady, which is too much nitrogen.
Right.
Too much nitrogen comes, 70, 80, 90% of it was coming from septic systems. discharging directly in groundwater. And if you think about it, it's a concrete ring planted about 8 to 10 feet, sometimes a little shallow, sometimes a little deeper, in sandy soil, which most of Long Island is.
Yep.
And everybody flushes, and they feel really, you know, relieved for a lot of reasons that it all just happily goes away. But it really doesn't go away. The urea that we all pee is where most of this nitrogen is coming from. And then what I used to, I'm a little older than Chris, and my hair is the right color to prove it. When I was around in, you know, back in the 80s, and all these maladies he described were either have just happened or were starting to happen. And they were all isolated. It was like, oh, gee, I don't know what happened to hog clam. Oh, gee, I don't know. I wonder what happened to bay scallops. Oh, gee, what's happening to eelgrass? Oh, this is terrible. What's happening to our salt marshes? And they were all treated as individual, isolated events that weren't connected. And a lot of Chris's good work connected them all and said, no, we're looking at this wrong. So you back into then, well, if you know where your problem is coming from, you have to fix it, right? If you had a leaky roof, you know, you wouldn't look at your neighbor's house and go, I wonder how come his roof's not leaking.
Right.
You would look at your own roof, you would fix your own roof. So it's the same concept here, right? So when Chris did a whole lot of work, he and his lab and Stony Brook and some of his partners did a whole bunch of work that sort of allowed this to crystallize. At the same time, Suffolk County and the State of New York Environmental Divisions and County Environmental Divisions and even EPA were all, you know, encouraged by this investigation. And some of them gave money to further looking at some of this. And we all came back to the basic same conclusion. We have a source of nitrogen that we tried to get away with on the cheap right after World War II, and 10 million GIs come back from Asia and Europe. They looked for a place to live. They wanted to build the cheapest housing they could for a lot of reasons that were understood, and now it caught up to us.
Right.
So what do we do about it? So we protected the Pine Barrens, bought 50,000 acres of land, and the water underneath that is permanently protected, and it will be great for thousands of years if we don't screw that up too. But we never went back and fixed the sources of pollution that we have.
Yes.
And we know where that is. It's places we developed with just cesspools. So the real hard question is, no one wanted to have this conversation. Why? It's really difficult.
Right.
And why is it difficult? Because it's expensive. Mm-hmm. And why else is it difficult? Because you now have to have a conversation with basically everybody in Suffolk County that has a cesspool. And, you know, this was an extremely difficult thing for people to want to get engaged in, because we live in a political society where everybody wants an easy answer to complex problems, which sound great initially, but sometimes the only solution to a complex problem is an involved response, right? So the ballot measure for this November is essentially... It's called Proposition 2, and it's a clean water ballot measure. And how does it work? The ballot measure creates a funding source that allows Suffolk County to partner with state and federal funding agencies and strategically expand and build to the existing sewer structure that it has in Suffolk County. For about 35,000 properties will be connected. Mm-hmm. So imagine, you know, if you live in an area that's sewered, but your street's not connected, like in parts of Deer Park and along the Calls River and in other areas, those places can now be connected at a price the public can afford to pay, which is really important. Somebody could have done this 20 years ago. The cost to the homeowner would have been beyond, in some cases, the cost of their house.
Right.
It sounds absurd.
Yeah.
And so what this ballot proposal does is it creates a funding source for septic system replacements, which we can get into in a minute. How does that work? There'll be places that will never be sewered. And so what do you do there? Mm-hmm. And to the county's credit, in the past administration, they investigated where else in the country are people, A, having this problem, and B, how are they addressing it without sewering? Because the cost of sewering is $125,000 to $150,000 per house just to run the pipe in front of your house on the street.
Even more in some difficult situations.
Right, yeah. Exactly. You got, you know, undulating topography in places. It's even more expensive. So how do you do that? If money was, if you could print it, literally, you know, or it just fell off trees, you know, it'd be like, what's the big deal, right? But that's impossible. So what was also looked at was in places where you know you'll never sewer, you can put in a new septic system, which is much better than the process we have right now, which is not designed to treat nitrogen. Mm-hmm. And this technology exists. The county ran 5 or 6 year sample, and Chris can embellish on this also. And the technology works. It's proven. It's 5 times cheaper than the most reasonable sewer connection, and the nitrogen load reductions in some cases approaches 90%, depending on what system you're putting in and how it's set up with a drain field or not a drain field. I don't want to get into too much technology here.
Right.
But the point is, there's solutions here, and the question is, how do you pay for it and make it effective and cost-effective for homeowners to engage? And the way it works is the county will be able to take this funding, and they'll be able to make grants directly to contractors for people who select the system they want for their house. And then it's tax-free. There's no tax consequence to the homeowner for this. And they get a septic system that's polluting, and then it's exchanged for a new clean water technology system that denitrifies the offending pollutant. And if you do this at a large enough scale, and over enough few years, you can start to see clean water results. In some cases, it could be in under 10 years, depending on the individual circumstances. So the whole idea is, will the public extend the county's drinking water protection program, which is currently paid for by 0.25% sales tax, mm-hmm. that's responsible for most of the Pine Barrens protection in Suffolk County, but there's still more to do, so extend that. And then the second piece is, will the voters approve extending an additional 0.125 sales tax that would capitalize the fund that pays for the sewer expansion and attracts federal and state dollars, and also pays for the grants to homeowners who can get their septic system replaced. The existing septic system is cleaned out, it's retired, and then you get a brand new one that treats your waste and is better for groundwater and surface water. And that's the essence of the whole proposal. Yeah. And better than that, it's the whole solution to the problem that Dr. Gorbler just laid out. And I think, because I've been spending too much time on this, but I think this is probably one of the most elegant, comprehensive, geographically as well as technology-wide solution happening at a county-level scale anywhere in the country.
And listen, I want to get into a little bit of the civics lesson here. And it's just a very simple concept, but it's worth noting. Everybody contributes just a little bit by doing what they normally do. They don't necessarily feel it, you know.
Well, it's 12 cents on a $100 pair of sneakers.
That's it.
That's it. 12 cents on a $100 pair of sneakers.
Which will fund the engineering studies, which will get, you know, the contractors out, which will get pipe into the ground, which get the new denitrification systems in. So in areas that can't be sewered, you'll have these other systems that will replace the harmful septic systems.
Right.
Where you can be sewered, you're going to see an expansion of sewers.
Yep.
And all of this done with everybody chipping in very, very little. It's all possible, right? We just have to believe that we want to do this. I mean, we have excellent reasons.
Nothing will get better unless this investment is made. Mm-hmm. And here's the other thing, right? For the first time in 50 years, the federal government and the state of New York have large sums of money committed to major infrastructure improvements. Suffolk County is poised to, with its own local funding source, poised to be able to move almost to the front of the line,
right,
and say, we're putting up our money, match our money. And there's few places, with the exception of major cities in America, that are committing this level of funding. And the opportunity to say, we're putting up our money, you should match it too, it makes it very easy for those funding agencies to say, we got packages ready to go. They did the plan. They have all these details worked out. Let's go.
And listen, I've said it before on this show, and just to reiterate for everyone today, you know, Suffolk County is a donor county in that it pays more in taxes to the state than it receives back in return. In a state of New York, that is a donor state in this country, where it pays more in taxes to the federal government than it gets back in return. And here's a chance for Suffolk County to finally get what it's been putting in back. All we have to do is put up 12 cents on $100, and we can receive hundreds of millions of dollars in funding back from the federal government.
Well, the other thing I would make here, point I would make, is this is a problem not just unique to Suffolk County. This is a problem. This is happening in the North Shore of Nassau County. Mm-hmm. There's issues relating to the same thing in northern Westchester, in Chesapeake Bay, Cape Cod, Florida. They're all dealing with the same issues. And, you know, Chris uses a phrase that I thought was terrific, and he says Suffolk County, which had a real slow time engaging this issue because it was difficult, I get it, went from worst to first.
Right.
And, you know, we're in a really terrific position if the voters will vote yes this November on this. And, you know, for people who've been around, you know, I remember in my youth, in my high school and college days, you know, I had plenty of friends that were climbing in the Great South Bay. Oh, yeah. They were a little older than me, mm-hmm. right? And it was like, geez, it was great. It was good college money and stuff like that. And it all literally fell off a cliff mm-hmm. in different sequences, right? So, you know, if we want to fix it, you have to make the investment in abating the pollution source. Mm-hmm. And we can talk more about, you know, some of the technology work that Chris and others have done. It's actually spawned a cottage industry, and it only gets better over time. So please.
That's the thing, too.
That worst to first thing, I think, is worth elaborating on a little bit. And that's referring specifically to Suffolk County and the Department of Health Services and their implementation of a program to replace septic systems. You know, if we went back 10 years ago, we're in a situation, where, as I mentioned in my introduction, where, you know, literally our toilets were flushing into our drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, US EPA has actually since declared that activity illegal. Right? They've actually brought legal action against Suffolk County in some cases for doing that because that's not allowed. Ironically, that's the only way you could do it as of a decade ago. But with recognition that that wasn't really the right way to do things, you know, Suffolk County stepped up, recognized the problem, looked into options, you know, what are other places in the country doing, and progressively implemented policies and programs for people to upgrade their septic systems to new systems that reduce, as I think Kevin mentioned, 80 to 90% of the nitrogen coming out of the home. In some cases, also remove other things we don't want in our drinking mm-hmm. water, like drugs and pharmaceuticals.
Right.
And importantly, these systems have been very rigorously tested. So they put together a program where a system couldn't get approved for what they call general approval.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it had 3 years of data with dozens of systems in the ground, all hitting the performance targets and fairly strict performance targets. So, you know, I know that
strictest in the country for those type of units.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, I've heard some people say, oh, well, you know, this is new technology. We're not sure about it. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, like I said, there's, you know, hundreds of these systems in the ground now in mm-hmm. Suffolk County. And, you know, some of these, you know, for example, there's a company from Japan called Fuji.
Mm-hmm.
There's thousands and thousands of those systems in the ground across the planet. This is proven technology. And Suffolk County, in addition to vetting this program very carefully, also has a grants program. And so currently there are grants in place to get $10,000 from the state, to get another $10,000 from Suffolk County. And some of the eastern Long Island towns, you can get another $20,000 on top of that. And these are tax-free grants, Kevin mentioned that, that in many cases can cover the entire installation cost. And if there's leftover, you know, you can cover things like improving your landscaping that might have been altered by the installation.
Right.
So,
And what's the point of that, right? So the point of this is you want to set up a program that's really customer-friendly. Who's the customer? The customer is the homeowner with a septic system, right, or a sewer. or that needs a sewer, right? So the whole idea is not to make it unworkable. The whole idea is to make it easy. How do you make it easy? Mm-hmm. You offer grants that cover all the expenses or close to all the expenses associated with the installation. You make applying for it reasonably easy. You can go online to what is known as reclaimourwater.org. Anybody can file. You go online. It's pretty easy. The county knows that should the ballot measure pass, that they're going to have to scale everything up, and that might take a little time. You know, all new programs, scaling up programs, always have a few bumps along the way. Sure. So that, you know, should be expected, annoying as it may be. We're all human. We all know what that's like in our own jobs when things don't quite work right, and we have to, you have to commit to try to make it better. And then the other thing is, you know, there was, the county set up the program, I think, smartly, where they make direct payments to the contractors doing mm-hmm. the work. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to lay the money out. You don't have to write a check for $20,000 or $25,000 that you may or may not have. Right. When my kids were in school, I didn't have 20 grand laying around going, oh, I can't right. wait to lay this out and
right.
and then wait 6 months to get it back, right? So that's all really thoughtful things that the county and the state did to put this together. And, you know, there are plenty of people that, you know, bash government, government should work better, and all this other stuff. There's nobody else who's going to fix this problem
right.
the way it needs to be fixed without the involvement of a coordinated government strategy yep. between the state, the county, the towns, the villages, and the federal government. And all of that is coming together. And it's, quite frankly, almost miraculous, right? And the only thing left to hit the go button is vote yes on Prop 2 this November, which is the Clean Water Ballot Initiative.
Sure. Yeah, and listen, you know, we're looking forward to talking about this as much as possible. A couple of weeks ago, we had some of our folks from AME that they deal with the perimeter in Suffolk County, all the coastline, to see whether or not beaches can be open or closed. And they got about 190 beaches that they've got to check for all sorts of different things. And these are the things that we're talking about. And some of the times where they have to shut things down is directly related to these issues.
Yep.
So we're going to continue to talk about this as we get closer and closer to November and decisions need to be made. And I guess one last thing I want to bring up, you know, obviously I'm having conversations. You guys are having conversations out in the world. And one of the things we were wondering is, you know, what kind of misconceptions are out there when people hear about this? I haven't come across anything yet. When I'm talking to people, they get it, right? They're saying, right. okay, well, you know we have this problem. Right. You know, it's clear. Anyone who lives on Long Island has been by a beach or whatever. Like, you've seen that impact, whether you've lived with it that way the whole time or if you've seen it change over your lifetime, it's common knowledge.
Right.
And the fix is pretty easy, and it is a common, simple effort. Again, 12 cents on 100
right.
bucks.
Right.
But are you hearing anything out in the world where people, you know, the points that need to be clarified?
So here's a couple of small things, and I'll let Chris, jump in and wrap this, too.
Yeah.
So, first of all, this has been a conversation that's been happening for more than 12 years at the local level, at the policy level. And, you know, the first five or six were really resisted. No one wanted to have this conversation. At the time, the chairman of the Environmental Conservation Committee in the state legislature and the assembly, at the time, Bob Sweeney, really good guy, cared about water, wanted to do smart environmental policy for New York. And we met with him and we explained all this. And we met with Fred Thiel, who was the assemblyman from the East End, and we talked about all this. And, you know, each one of them said, all right, let's assume for the moment I believe everything you're saying and that we have this problem exactly as you described and we have to get all these septic systems out. What does that involve? Mm-hmm. And we said, well, we have to change out 360,000 polluting septic systems one at a time. And how much is that going to cost? And we said, oh, it's billions with a B.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and then I started laughing because I realized how absurd that sounded, mm-hmm. right? And then they were like, it's going to take a while. Yeah, it's going to take a while, so let's start soon, mm-hmm. right, as opposed to putting it off. And so we've been talking about this for a long, 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 long time, yeah. right? And then Chris and Stony Brook and the work that they've been doing was just laying it out methodically and patiently saying, here's all this evidence. Mm-hmm. So you have the policy discussion in one side, almost like a, a railroad track. Imagine one track is the policy people discussing, is this really this bad? We wish it would go away. Can we make it go away? Is there a magic pill we can throw down into the toilet? I mean, how many times have you heard that? Is there a magic pill we can throw in a toilet and make it all go away? If only, right?
Right.
So that was one discussion. And then he and his colleagues did all this really terrific work that is being shared with other parts of the country about what this problem means. So, Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can, the 2 points I'd make, the first one is specifically the plan that's in place by Suffolk County is incredibly well thought out. Some people would say, well, how do we know? And how do we know? But the science behind it is very, very strong. And specifically the areas where they're prioritizing upgrades. Let's not do all 360,000 at once.
Right,
there's a
right.
priority of about half of the locations they want to hit first. Why are they choosing that half first? Well, to protect our drinking water. Mm-hmm. So anywhere where there's drinking water supply, let's not have our toilets going into our drinking water. Mm-hmm. Good idea. And then the South Shore, because it's so shallow, the South Shore bays are very, very sensitive to nitrogen loading. And so that's also a high priority. The other thing, and last thing I'll just emphasize, is the fact that the do-nothing scenario. We've seen, and I've seen over the decades, what happens when you do nothing. I've seen water bodies get worse and worse and worse over time. And we haven't, the two words that are sometimes the grill in the room haven't come up yet, climate change.
Right.
And
yeah.
Specifically, there's good studies to show that actually, you know, it's the climate change, if you do nothing, will make things much, much, much worse. The water's getting warmer, so it's going to hold less oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who wasn't around on August 19th when some places we got 10 inches of water?
Right.
That was a heck of a lot of nitrogen being pushed into the ground and out in the surface waters. And we saw the ramifications after that. A lot of water bodies were polluted and shut down the shell fishing. And that's not a new occurrence, really. Some people call that the 1-in-1,000-year storm. The fact of the matter is,
they're happening more and more frequently.
That's the third
yes.
time we got that much or more rain
mm-hmm.
in one day in the last decade.
Right.
And you know, the data just shows we're getting more of those huge rainfall events, and that's going to continue in the future. That's going to deliver more nitrogen. So you know, we're fighting against the tide, so to speak, when
right.
it comes to climate change. Not taking action will make some areas of Long Island, you know, I hate to be extreme, but almost unlivable in some cases because of, you know, the combination of climate change and the things that come with it and the overloading of nitrogen. So, you know, that's one of the things that makes this a really important initiative.
Yeah, yeah. You know, again, just circling back, I guess, on the final point, you know, when we talk about collectively agreeing to do this, we're also talking about 12 cents on $100. And it's people that, you know, visit and vacation here as much as it is residents that are
Correct.
Spending this money. And we're all, you know, kicking in together to find solutions, a targeted approach to hit the worst areas first, to get the most amount of impact and continue working on this. So, again, my guest this morning, Kevin McDonald and Dr. Chris Gobler. I want to thank you both for being here, explaining what's going on. We may have more questions for you, and we may have to do another show on this
sure.
as we get closer and closer to this time, because we want to make sure that everybody understands how important this issue is. So if you want to learn more, go on the website, voteyesprop2.com. That's voteyesprop2.com. And if you have any questions, you can email us here at suffolkmatters@walkradio.com. But thank you both for joining us this morning.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And to our listeners, we'll speak to you next week.